The story we are going to share with you comes from the Cherokee people. It is called Grandmother Spider Steals the Sun. In the darkness, the people were frightened. They turned to the animals for comfort. The animals had sight, for in their world, there was sight in darkness. Fox, having pity on the people, said, "There are places in the world where there is light, but the ones who have it are too greedy to share. Our people are frightened. They cannot see. Who will bring light to our people?"
Possum stood tall and brave. "My tail is large and I can carry the light there." The animals agreed. So Possum, being very brave and strong, journeyed to the sun's house. It was beautiful, so light and full of life. Possum snatched a piece of light from the sun and hid it in his tail. Soon a strange warmth spread through his bottom, burning hotter and hotter. Smoke began to rise, and Possum knew he was on fire. The sun had burnt his hair right off. He stopped to rest at the river's edge to put the fire out. The greedy people who had the sun found Possum holding his bear tail and took the piece of the sun from him. To this day, Possum's tail has no hair. Buzzard next stood tall and strong. "My wings are strong and I can fly to the sun's house. Take a piece and put it on my head to light my way home." So Buzzard flew and flew and flew and flew until he reached the house of the sun. It was so beautiful and there was light all around. Buzzard flew to the sun and took a piece when she wasn't looking. He placed it upon his head to light his way. Soon he began to feel a warmth upon his head. The warmth quickly got hotter. He began to sweat and sweat. The burning was so great. He swooped low to the ground to rest, and the greedy people saw him. They snatched the fire from his head and took it back to the sun's house. To this day, Buzzard's head is bald and red from where the sun burned her mark.
Now, of all the animals who loved the people and wanted to help them, there was Grandmother Spider, weaver of stories and songs, the smallest of the animals who loved the people. She stood tall to the other animals. "Let me try." The other animals loved and respected Grandmother Spider. In spite of her tiny size and frail body, she could weave words and music. And her weavings were the strength that held the animals and the people together. First, Grandmother Spider made a jar from the earth, drying it with her breath. Under the cover of darkness, she next wove a web from one side of the earth to the other. Grandmother Spider was so tiny and frail that those greedy people paid her no mind. When she reached the house of the sun, Grandmother Spider reached far and snatched a piece of the sun. Grandmother Spider, tiny and frail, brought the sun to the people in a jar of clay so there would be darkness no more.
Of all the animals who loved the people and wanted to help them, there was Grandmother Spider. In spite of her tiny size, she could weave words and music, and her weavings were the strength that had held the animals and the people together. How fitting that the heroine of the story, the one who brings warmth and nourishment to all, is a weaver of webs. A wise spider who understands intuitively in her body. Grandmother Spider, who is better able than most to see how the threads of life come together. The fate of human and tree and fox woven into one cloth. Grandmother Spider never seems to forget the web that connects her to all. There are people in our world who can see better than most how intricately our lives are connected to the land and to the water. They notice how the oceans change and pay attention when they hear that the shells of mussels and clams and urchins are becoming more brittle in acidic water. When trees are cleared, they pay attention to the effect on the snowy owl here and the howler monkey there. They notice more than most the change in the rhythms of the land and the water, the loss of balance in ecosystems. There are those who look further still, not only at how animals and insects rely on forests, not only at how people relate to the earth and to the animals, not only at how people relate to one another. There are those who weave the threads of each all together. The story of Flint, Michigan's water crisis invites us into just such an intricate weaving. The story could start in the 1940s when nearly 6 million gallons of oil were released untreated into the water. In the 1970s, chemical companies added large amounts of mercury to the mix. All of this, plus runoff from steel mills and power plants along the river, became part of the sediment in the Flint River, ingested by plant and animal life. Then a few years ago, after a series of budget cuts, the city of Flint decided to save money by switching from supplying residents with water from Lake Huron to sourcing water from the Flint River. But the water from the Flint River was poorly treated and eroded lead from aging city pipes. People began to notice red welts on their skin after they showered, and their hair began to fall out. As a New York Times article described, the water coming out of people's taps was brown and orange, visibly full of particles, frothy and foul smelling. Plants and pets began to die. On a hot day, children playing in the spray of a water hydrant were streaked with coffee-colored liquid. Eventually, a group of pediatricians at Michigan State University decided to conduct a study of how lead in the water was affecting Flint's children. They took blood samples from children under the age of 5 years of age from all over the city. Their concern, among others, was how lead poisons children's bodies at a faster rate than it affects adults. And, of course, about how lead damages children's brain development irreversibly. As the Michigan State study reads in its conclusion, the neighborhoods with the greatest elevated blood lead level increases are also the most disadvantaged, socioeconomically speaking. The areas in which the highest water lead levels were recorded had the highest population of African American children. The neighborhoods in the far north and south of the city, where most middle class and white citizens reside, observed a decreasing trend of the blood lead levels, as these residents could afford certain preventative efforts in response to the use of Flint River water, most noticeably from purchasing bottled water. Though we are connected, forest, ocean, animal, human, poison does not spread evenly through the web of life. For human beings, poison collects most in the places where our lives are most uneven. The days of short sunlight we are living in right now, these longest nights of the year, ask us to sit longer than we might like with imbalance. The imbalance of day and night, but also the imbalance of ecosystems, opportunity, safety, and health in human lives. In the midst of our celebrating the return of the light, the longest nights invite us to notice and feel the darkness too. To not put all of our energy into looking high and low for evidence of spring while it's still winter time. In the story of Grandmother Spider, Fox says, "There are places in the world where there is light, but the ones who have it are too greedy to share. Our people are frightened." The story of Grandmother Spider celebrates the sun being shared with all, how she sneaks into the house of the greedy and carries back a piece of the sun in the jar she made from the earth's clay and her own breath, how she brings warmth and light not to a few, but to all. The story celebrates the coming back of the light, but it's before the sun is stolen, before the sun is claimed for all, there in the dark, that Grandmother Spider weaves together words and music strong enough to hold the will of the animals and the people together. And it's in the darkness that they gather, the people with Fox and Possum and Buzzard. And staying there together, talking through the night, some commit to risking their tails and heads and wings and hearts in the effort to bring warmth and nourishment to all. We must seek balance. We must seek safety and opportunity, warmth and nourishment for all. Perhaps balance is best sought, though, by sitting with imbalance and resisting the urge to turn away too quickly. Perhaps we find balance by holding hands with people who will sit through the longest night together and let something different take root in the darkness. If we spend all of our attention waiting for light to balance dark, or only celebrate the return of the light, in our waiting and celebration, we might miss what the longest nights have to teach us. In words we heard earlier from Kathleen McTeague, mystery shimmers and shines in the world, in even the darkest corners. It's there where the roots push life into soil and rock, there in the silent pulse beneath the bark, something beating in the dark shelter of our hearts, the small shine of hope. In these longest nights of the year, may we not turn too quickly from imbalance, and instead sit with it longer, gathering, taking hands in the dark, weaving together story and song to hold our will steady.
Blessed be. Amen.